Welcome to the Earn More, Stress Less podcast with me, Caro Sison. This podcast is for self-employed business owners just like you, who really want to grow their business and become successful and profitable, but without all the stress and hassle. I want to share my 30 years of business experience to show you how simple it can be to earn more money and how you can get organized without needing a business degree or any other qualifications. I'll be talking about the easy steps that you can put in place right now to start earning more money today and to help you get the business that you deserve and dream of. Without further ado, let's get started. This week's podcast is sponsored by Pocket PA, helping self-employed business owners to get organized, understand their finances, and do their accounts all in one place using a powerful online tool. If you're serious about making a profit and having a successful business, then using a simple digital web app like Pocket PA is the best way to grow and scale your business. Visit pocketpa.com for more details and start managing your money like a pro today. Welcome to the Earn More, Stress Less podcast with me, Caro Sison. And today I've got a solo episode on a topic that is very close to my heart this week. I'm going to be talking to you today about dyscalculia. Now, I used to call it dyscalculia before I was enlightened. So if whatever you would like to call it or however you've heard it, I'm going to be calling it dyscalculia because I've heard some people on YouTube calling it this. So I think that that's the correct pronunciation now. So I stand corrected and I'm going to be carrying on trying to remember to call it that from now on. So I want to break down the barrier of numbers and number confidence. And I want to help micro business owners in particular, but anyone else that has dyscalculia, to conquer their business finances and numbers with much more confidence. And I want to try and empower you with some knowledge and strategies to navigate those annoying challenges of dyscalculia in the whole world of numbers. Numbers are everywhere in our day-to-day life, and I really want you to feel that you can unleash your true business potential, however you feel about numbers and maths. So get ready to unlock the secrets of success, conquer the numerical nightmares that don't need to cause you sleepless nights anymore, and let's get into understanding dyscalculia. So what is dyscalculia? Let's start by understanding what it is firstly and delve into the basics. Well, sometimes people call it number confidence, or it's like number dyslexia. And it is actually a specific learning disorder that affects an individual's ability to acquire and understand mathematical skills and concepts. And it's characterized by difficulties with numbers, calculations, mathematical reasoning. And people with dyscalculia may struggle with basic numeracy skills like counting, recognizing numbers, and understanding mathematical operations. And when you think about it, we have numbers all around us. They're constantly in our day-to-day function, and everything that we do have got numbers coming into us left, right and centre. And if you find numbers overwhelming, it can very quickly make you feel that you're less than, that you're not coping, that other people seem more intelligent or understand things better than you. But if you've got this dyscalculia, then that is basically what's causing you this number block. And it's not a result of low intelligence or a lack of effort. It's actually a neurodevelopmental condition that affects the brain's ability to process and comprehend numerical information. And people with this condition, whether it is even a condition, but people with dyscalculia may have difficulty understanding maths symbols, sequencing numbers, grasping mathematical patterns and relationships. And the impact of it extends well beyond the classroom. So whilst you might have struggled at school with maths and anything which involved numbers, which classically is any of the science-based things like physics and chemistry and that sort of stuff, you know, various aspects of daily life are always being impacted by numbers, and any tasks that involve time management, spatial awareness, budgeting, estimation, these can be particularly challenging for you. And dyscalculia then also leads to frustration, low self-esteem, and lots of anxiety related to any maths-related activities. So it's important to note that dyscalculia is distinct from maths anxiety or general difficulties with maths. It's actually a specific learning disorder, and it requires a proper assessment and intervention if you want to get it formally diagnosed. And once that's happened, you can get appropriate support, different accommodations and specialised instructions. And people can also develop strategies to cope with their challenges and achieve success in their academic and personal lives. So it is something that can be supported. It's often a persistent learning difficulty, which makes it hard to understand. And whilst it's described as this dyslexia with numbers, it's much less well known and less researched than dyslexia, which is when you find letters and words and things complicated and you can't make sense of words and things on the page. But it's estimated that dyscalculia affects around 4 million people in the UK, and that's 6% of the population. And I expect that that's probably massively underdiagnosed. I would imagine that there are an awful lot more people that actually have dyscalculia. So what are the signs of it? Well, making arithmetic much more difficult. So that you're going to have difficulties with recognizing numbers, connecting number symbols and words, perhaps placing things in order, learning sequences, grasping the properties of numbers, such as knowing that the figure nine is a nine. So that's nine ones, but also that it's three three. So that's all your multiplication tables. You might find counting backwards challenging, making estimates where you've got to guess a rough number complicated, understanding place values and decimal points, such as the difference between £500 and £5, where it's got 5.00, doubling and halving percentages and spreadsheets. All of these things are daily things that we come across, whether we're in business or just leading our everyday lives. And so it can have a really massive impact on our lives. And it can certainly slow down your academic progress and your career progression. And it will cause this strong anxiety around maths, particularly, I think, when you're in pressured situations. But day to day, the effects could cause problems with managing your time. So that would be everything from planning your diary, having calendar and appointments. Certainly a 12 or a 24 hour clock can be a challenge for you. I know my own daughter has this challenge, and for her, if you were to say turn up at 1700, she might come at 7 p.m. She might not know that 1700 is actually 5 p.m. So those differences between a calendar, a clock, which has a 24 hour format and a 12 hour format with AM and PM, those can cause real challenges for people. And so planning your diary and calendar, that can be a problem if you offer service-based appointments where you need to be really on top of your organisation and your calendar management. Other places that it might show up, planning journeys. So working out how much time it's going to take for you to get somewhere. And you have to then work backwards from the time you have to arrive to working out what time you have to leave, because 1 hour has 60 minutes. And you have to be navigating perhaps timetables or looking at how long it's going to take you in the car to get somewhere, and you have to work backwards, and that can also be a challenge. What about working out when you're out at a restaurant or you go out somewhere where you have a bill and you're with some friends or family and you need to split the bill? So having to work out division, and often you're in a pressurized situation, the waiter or the waitress has come to you with the bill, and suddenly you're needing to work it out and split it three ways, four ways, five ways. You then have to add a tip on, and that's usually a percentage, and then you have to split it out between you. And you just reach this point where you feel frozen to the spot, and it's like, oh, don't ask me to do the bill split. Or, you know, you have to refer to somebody else and just say, oh, how much do I owe? That's sometimes a challenge, as I say, working out this bill. What about when you're paying for things in shops? You might not understand how a discount can work. So a lot of places will be shouting out, oh, we've got a 20% discount. And so you might be wondering, well, has that been applied correctly? Because you can't work out on the spot and really know if that 20% has actually come off your bill, particularly when they add VAT on as well. I know some of the salon shops, they will be quoting prices without the VAT, without that 20% added on. And then when you see that certain things have got special offers with discounts and stuff, you can just go into a meltdown thinking, oh my goodness, I'm getting, I've got to add VAT on of 20%, but then I'm getting a 15% discount. And you end up reaching the till and they ask you for an amount and you hand over your card or you make a payment and you really don't know accurately whether everything's been applied correctly. So even choosing the right notes or coins to pay with, that can sometimes be a challenge for people that have dyscalculia. What about when you go on holiday? There's a currency exchange rate to navigate. Oh my word, you know, I don't have dyscalculia, but I even find that terribly overwhelming. especially when you pay on your card and they want to charge you a transaction fee and they're talking about it being a percentage and you're never quite sure if they've done it accurately or not. I don't know very many people that ever challenge currency charges and stuff when things get calculated. So again, you think you're on a relaxing holiday and then you've got to navigate currency exchange. And if you have dyscalculia, that adds an extra level of anxiety. Another one I was thinking of today when I was trying to think of some practical examples, what about when you're baking, when you're looking at recipes? I still see lots of recipes where you're switching between grams and ounces. So do you know how many grams are in 1 ounce? That's often a challenge and you'll need to rely on the scales. But when you double a recipe because you want to make twice as much, again, that can cause a blank when you're trying to work out that doubling of numbers. As I said before, working out how much to tip people at the end of a meal, you're stressed, you're on the spot when the bill comes, and that can be a double whammy, worrying about things like that. What about driving at the right speed when it switches between kilometres and miles per hour, particularly when you go to different countries? That's another thing that uses numbers. Telling if one amount is greater than another, they use that little sign, don't they? It's like a V on its side, and it can either be facing one way or another. So are they talking about an amount being greater or less than another? That can cause confusion. What about multiplication and division? You might have struggled perhaps with your times tables when you were growing up. I know when I was growing up, I used to have to learn them all by rote, and I used to be in a class where we used to say them all out loud, and then you would practice them in the car. I would be going home backwards and forwards on my journey, and we would be doing our times table, and then it would sort of become natural for me to be able to work out mental mathematics and stuff. But for people with dyscalculia, that doesn't come easily, if at all. And so they might have always struggled with their times table. So if somebody says, oh, 3 times 3, they might just draw a blank and they can feel very, very awkward in those situations. And that can be frustrating and really lower your self-esteem. One of the big topics that they're talking a lot about at the moment, you might have a mortgage and mortgage rates. We all know that they're going through the roof. We hear people talking about inflation, and people with dyscalculia can really, gosh, I can't even say it sometimes. I think I might have a bit of dyslexia here. But yeah, people with dyscalculia, and when they listen to conversations about mortgage rates and inflation, and they hear people on the news talking about them, it might just totally switch them off. They haven't got a clue what's really going on, and they do feel totally on the outside of these conversations. And understanding how mortgage rates work, how standard variable rates work, when they hear the words APR and different things, particularly if they've been faced with purchasing a property and you might have had a mortgage broker and he's gone through all of this information with you, and you might have just felt completely out of the conversation, just sitting on the side, listening to things and not really understanding what's being said. And that can be frustrating. And also it's really disempowering, because you then feel anxious and fearful because you don't really understand how mortgage rates work. All you know is that if they go up, it's going to be a concern for you, but you're not equipped with the tools to be able to work out the impact of how mortgage rates going up might affect your month-to-month budgeting and your ability to be able to manage the repayments. It's the same. I hear people talk about compound interest. It's a huge topic, compound interest, and it's one of the most valuable things that you can learn and understand. But those with dyscalculia will find the whole concept of compound interest, where you get interest on interest, and that can seem really overwhelming to actually understand. And to have somebody explain how compound interest works when you have dyscalculia will take, you know, a lot of examples and somebody with patience to explain it and break it down in a way that you can process. Also, savings rates. You might have some extra money and you put them in an account, but you don't really know which savings account is best for you, because you don't understand this whole concept of percentages and the different terms and things that are associated with the term that you have to lock the money in. And that can seem really overwhelming. Maybe you've bought a car or an item of equipment on hire purchase or finance, and they're talking about all the repayments for you, and they talk about something called APR, and that's another area that you just go into a meltdown and you don't really understand, and you feel perhaps embarrassed to ask the person that's explaining it to you because they seem so knowledgeable and they're going through it quite quickly and they assume a level of understanding from you. And so all you're wanting to know is, how much am I going to pay each month? And you haven't really looked looked at the nitty-gritty of what the actual costs are in order for you to be able to compare it with another loan or finance agreement to know which is actually better for you. So again, that can leave you feeling a little bit disempowered because you don't actually understand the difference between the two. What other things was I thinking about? Sometimes those with dyscalculia have difficulty recalling PIN numbers. I mean, we have an enormous number of things that we have to retain. We're never supposed to write them down. Just recalling your PIN number, phone numbers, getting them in the right order. I know a couple of people that have these challenges, and you can relay a phone number or a PIN number to somebody and they just type in the wrong numbers. It's like they haven't heard you or they can't process them. So that can often be a sign of somebody that has dyscalculia. And when you get into business, if you are a small business owner or a large business owner and you have dyscalculia, you're going to have additional business challenges. So cash flow, one of those things that people talk about all the time, your actual available money that you can use that's for your business. But business is very simple. It is, what have I got coming in? That's your income. And what have I got going out? That's your outgoings and your costs. And your profit is the difference between the two. So you've got, say, £100 coming in and you've got £20 of costs going out. So your profit will be the difference between the two, which will be that 100 minus that 20. So you'll have £80 profit. But being able to understand that on a day-to-day level, when you're a small business owner, you might perhaps rely on your bank statement and you just look at the bottom of your bank statement and you have a long list of numbers and dates and some written entries and stuff coming in and out. But you're just looking at one snapshot in time on your bank statement. It's just telling you where your position is at that moment, but it's not giving you an overall feel and flow of your cash flow, of your numbers in a way that perhaps you can understand just because it's always delivered to you in these numbers. And this was one of the big things and the big reason that I made Pocket PA was because my own daughter has this struggle and lack of confidence with numbers. She doesn't understand, or she didn't when she was 19. She didn't have that concept of the 12 and 24 hour clock. So I knew a point bookings and those sorts of things would be a challenge for her. I knew cash flow would be a challenge because she didn't understand the different percentages, money coming in, money going out, and working out that net profit. So this was one of the huge drivers that brought me to making Pocket PA, because I really wanted to deliver for her a way to understand her cash flow and her business numbers in a way that wasn't going to overwhelm her. And I wanted to deliver it in a way that was very visual, using colour, and deliver it in a dial so that she could see very clearly the small red area, hopefully small, of the money going out. And then we put all of the money coming in green, because that was green for go, red for going out. And then there's a little line in the middle which tells her the difference, what is left, and that's the profit in her business. So if your red is very small and your green is very big, it's very easy to see at a glance that your profit and your cash flow is going well. If your red is matching the same size as your green, it means that you've got a break even position where you've got the equal and opposite amount. So you've got the same amount coming in against the same amount that you're spending going out. So that means that there's zero left for you in the middle. You've got exactly a matching coming in and matching going out. So there's nothing left for you as a profit. And God forbid, I always say, if there's a bigger red area in the dial and a smaller green area, it means that your costs are outweighing, they're bigger than your money coming in, which means that you won't have a profit, and effectively you've got an expensive hobby going on. And you need to know that sooner rather than later. You don't want your accountant to be the first person that tells you that. So it's really important that you get a grip on your numbers and you understand your finances, regardless of whether you've got dyscalculia or not. Business doesn't care. It's not interested in any of the places that you come from when you start your business. You are expected to manage it. And if you have this challenge with numbers, then this can prove a really pivotal point for you, because if you want to run a profitable business and not an expensive hobby, you have got to get to grips with your numbers. So one of the things that I did want to highlight, though, despite its challenges, dyscalculia does mean it's often accompanied by really unique strengths and some unexpected advantages. So I'm going to focus on some of the positives for a moment, because it does often mean that you are quite creative and very good at problem solving. And you have learnt sort of intuitively to find and develop creative approaches to tackle number problems. And your mind will be very adept at finding all alternative solutions and thinking outside the box. And that's something that stretches into other areas as well. A lot of people with dyscalculia are very visual thinkers, so they need to see things on paper, they need to see things in colour, and they often have a really strong ability to think visually, and they really excel in areas such as spatial reasoning, pattern recognition, and anywhere where they can use their visual cues to help them understand things. And you can really leverage your tasks by using this visualisation technique. Often they're really good at critical thinking because they possess excellent critical thinking skills and have the ability to analyse complex situations, consider lots of different perspectives, and can arrive at a really well-reasoned conclusion. And this can be a real strength and advantage, which makes strategic business decision making one of their strengths. And the last thing, which I don't think you could ever underestimate, people with dyscalculia often have really good verbal proficiency. So they compensate with their sort of number challenges by developing really strong verbal skills and can really excel in areas of communication. They're great connectors, they're good with language, persuasion, and they can leverage that strength, and it can be really beneficial in networking, sales and marketing, and they usually have absolutely on point, fabulous customer service because they're so good with talking with their clients and explaining things and making them feel loved and cared for in whatever environment that they're at, because they're such good talkers. So it's really important that we leverage those strengths and sort of mitigate the impact of those weaknesses associated with dyscalculia. And there are some practical workarounds that we can put in place if you have dyscalculia and you are a small business owner. So what about using technology? I think it's really important in this day and age that we embrace being able to use digital tools, calculators, spreadsheets, if you can get over those, and different software platforms and tools to automate some of these numerical tasks. And this will then reduce your reliance on using, having mental calculations and being able to do those things that other people seem effortlessly able to work out and you know, spout out their times tables, etc. And it's also going to help you minimize any errors and stuff, which is particularly important if you're running your own business. What about asking for some support and perhaps delegating some of your financial tasks? It's perfectly okay to tell your accountant that you have dyscalculia and that you find some of these number things challenging. But guess what? Tell them that you're using a tool which helps you to understand it, and this is the way that you want to do it. I think a lot of accountants want to sort of push you into their financial tools that they like using, but they might not suit you. I know that the big ones, the Xero, the Sage, the QuickBooks, some of those can be really overwhelming. And when I was developing Pocket PA, I knew that my daughter would perhaps, she probably would only use about 10% of these accounting software tools, and the other 90% she would never use. And of the 10% that she would use, she would only understand probably 5%, because it's just delivered in a way that didn't light her up. It didn't, you know, tick those boxes where she understood and could join up those dots for her with the numbers. So if those numerical tasks prove overwhelming, be clear with your accountant or anyone that you're working with that you find those things difficult to process and that you need them explained in a different way. And this will let you focus on your own strengths and ensure that you've got accurate financial management still being performed in your business. I think tapping in and using visual aids is really, really important if you struggle with number confidence. And it's really easy to find different ways to look at your data. You can use coloured pie charts. As I say, in Pocket PA, we use coloured dials. We also have graphs, which are in colour, which are very easy to look at and understand. And it enables you to see trends. And once you start to see trends, instead of just single snapshot moments like the bottom of your bank statements, it really helps you to connect with your business numbers and start to feel empowered that you really understand what's going on in your business. Looking at numbers in diagrams as well, and looking at things in visual organizers to help simplify any complex sort of data crunching. Certainly we have a color-coded business diary where you put in your appointments, and once you've added an appointment and you've added in how long your service takes, it will tell you exactly the start time of your next appointment, so you don't need to work that out yourself. And when you're using a paper diary, that luxury isn't there, so you have to go back, work out how long that service delivery takes, and then work out what the next appointment time is for you in your diary. Whereas using a tool like Pocket PA, once you've added the service, it automatically calculates what time you will be available next. So that's really handy for helping your organization and your week-to-week management of your diary. I think it's really important to ask for help, get some training, reach out to different organizations. There are support groups, there are coaches who specialize in dyscalculia, and there are lots of forums and places that you can go to get guidance, training, resources that are tailored to your specific needs. And it means that you can enhance your numerical skills through targeted support, and this will help you to boost your confidence and your competence. And be happy to embrace alternative approaches. Look at different learning strategies. There is not a one size fits all. There are always alternative methods of problem solving. And if somebody is explaining something to you around numbers and you don't understand what they're saying, they need to adjust how they're explaining it to you. The onus is on them being able to deliver that information in a way that you can understand it. Because if they're saying it the same way each time and it's not landing, they need to switch up how they're delivering that information to help you. So make sure that you switch around and put the responsibility on that person that's teaching you or showing you or explaining your accounts or whatever it is to do with your numbers. Switch it up and explain to them that they need to tell you in a different way so that you can understand what's going on. I think it's really important. Remember that dyscalculia doesn't define your abilities. It doesn't limit your potential for success. Absolutely not. You know, my daughter started her business at 19, and 6-7 years later, she is like smashing it out of the park. And I know that she understands her business finances. She's got into a routine. She feels comfortable. She understands what she's putting in. And effectively, she's just become a data enterer. She doesn't need to worry about opening up spreadsheets. All of that stuff is done in the background. And if you're one of those people that finds spreadsheets overwhelming, you can't sort things out, or you just open up that Excel and you just look at it blankly and think, oh my Lord, where do I start? Then using a different way to input your data and have it delivered to you in a visual way is probably going to really work wonders for you. So you've got to really make sure that you leverage your strengths and implement practical workarounds that can really help you navigate the challenges of dyscalculia and thrive in the business world. So what I would say firstly is make sure that you are kind to yourself. You are not less than, you are not less important, you are not stupid, you're not thick. People might have tried to sort of impress that upon you or make you seem a bit of an idiot about not being able to understand things, and you might have felt a bit of a numpty when things haven't clicked for you. And those are the things that I have heard people say about themselves. But just recognize and acknowledge that dyscalculia is a genuine learning difference. It's not a reflection of your intelligence or your capabilities, and acceptance is an important first step in managing it and getting the appropriate support. As I said before, you may want to seek assessment and diagnosis formally. You could go to an educational specialist or psychologist, and they will be specializing in adult learning disorders, and a diagnosis can provide clarity and guide you towards tailored interventions and some systems that can really help you practically day to day. But there is an emphasis on you to educate yourself. I think there's definitely time well spent to educate yourself about dyscalculia, to understand its characteristics, some of the common challenges, and the available strategies that you could implement. And there are lots of books, there are articles, there's online resources which all provide valuable information on it. And you can definitely find out more about it in ways that you can help yourself. And if you support someone that has dyscalculia, then encourage those individuals with it to develop self-advocacy skills and to raise their own the awareness of needing some help with things. Encourage them to speak up about it, teach them to communicate their challenges, to get assistance where they're needed, and actively participate on their educational journey, because it can feel, you know, embarrassing for people. They often have shame around it, and there isn't any need to. We need to shine a spotlight on this shame element of it. There's nothing to be ashamed about. We all have challenges and lack of confidence in different areas. And if numbers is one of your things that you don't feel so confident about, empower yourself to educate yourself and implement and put in place some strategies that will really help you shine, because you definitely are not less than. I think another thing is to find some supportive communities, either online or offline, and connect with other people who have dyscalculia and learning differences. There are online forums, there are support groups, social media communities. These all offer a platform for sharing experiences. There's strategies, there'll be emotional support, and it can be really comforting to connect with people who understand some of these challenges that you face. So looking for supportive and inclusive learning environments, be open with your communication, allow others to provide positive reinforcement, and really celebrate your achievements. Once you understand something more about your number journey and stuff, really, it really does help you promote a growth mindset. And you know, you're part of a big community of people. You are definitely not alone. As I say, there are over 4 million people in the UK and counting. So that's something that I would definitely say. I think if you're working on your own, if you're particularly a solo business owner, there isn't anyone else or anyone obvious to ask or draw on their expertise. So I think it's even more important that you take that responsibility for financial management in your business. And I know it can make it challenging for you to handle financial aspects of your business, like budgeting, tracking your expenses, managing your cash flows, and, you know, just generally comprehending and calculating different things in your business. But know that this, you know, pricing, profitability, all of these things are important aspects of your business that you will need to learn and get to grips with. So just break it down, learn one thing at a time, try and find somebody that you feel has gone before you. Perhaps they also might have had some number challenges. See if you could book some time in with and ask them if they could perhaps support you a little bit on your journey. I think the time management aspect, your ability to estimate and manage your time effectively, that can sometimes be a challenge. So definitely use some tools which are going to help you with your planning and your scheduling of your tasks, because meeting deadlines, allocating time for different business activities, it might need you to add some additional support or strategies to overcome these time-related challenges. And data analysis, I'm really hot on being able to understand and evaluate your data that you've got going in your business, because whatever business you're running, you're going to be gathering data, whether you're aware of it or not, whether you look at it or not, you are going to be collecting data in your business once you start getting going. You're talking about your number of appointments, your clients, the amount that you're offering your services out, what your productivity rate might be per hour, your profit and your loss, your income and your outgoings. And this dyscalculia, it might impact that interpretation and analysis of this numerical data and your financial reports. So it's really important that you do understand your key metrics in a way that you can process it. You need to identify these trends, and you need to be making data-driven decisions for your business, because that's going to form your strategy, and it will also determine how quickly you can grow and scale in your business, your level of profitability. So that's how much money you can take home every single week, month and year. And it can be more challenging if you have dyscalculia. So do seek out people that can help you with these things, because there are people out there that really want to help. I've touched on you talking to your accountant or whoever it is that does your accounts at the end of the year. Make sure that they know that you want clear and concise, supportive financial analysis at the end, that you want them to talk you through your accounts in a way that you're going to understand. It's not just about them delivering and telling you how much you pay the tax man. You want to speak to them about your profit and your loss, and about ways that you can make more money, that you can claim back more costs, other things that you can put through your business to increase your profit. So make sure that you make them aware that you have some challenges with processing numbers, and you want them to explain it in a really simple way. And then the emphasis has been transferred onto them to really relay it in that way for you. So yeah, I think that's probably, you know, a lot of the stuff that I wanted to share with you today. I've gone on a little longer than I was expecting to. I hadn't realised there was so much I wanted to share, but I just really want to emphasise this was one of the whole drivers that I made Pocket PA for, to help people in business who work for themselves and they're self-employed. I don't like jargon. I'm really passionate about showing things in colour. Business always looks better in colour. So everything from colour-coded services and calendars to visual help guides to financial information in coloured dials, big coloured boxes on a dashboard that we've got in Pocket PA. It's all got clickable links to move yourself around the platform. As I said before, the profit and loss is all in a coloured dial, red and green, so it's super easy to understand. And it means that, you know, by not having any jargon, you don't need a maths or an accountancy degree to manage your business. There aren't any spreadsheets until you press a button to export it for your accountant. You just become a data enterer. And I know if you can send a text message to someone, then you are able to use Pocket PA. That's the entry level for being able to. You don't need this maths degree. And as I say, you export once at the end of the year for the accountant. And that's the only time you need to have to look at a spreadsheet if you find them really overwhelming. So just to conclude, I think, just remember that managing dyscalculia is an ongoing process. You need to have some patience. You need to be persistent. And I think it's a collaborative effort from, you know, people that can support you, from parents and other individuals that are already going along this journey with dyscalculia. And every person is individual. So all of your experiences will be individual to you. No two people will be the same. And it's really essential that you tailor what works for you and find the right tools to really help you maximize your potential. So that's it for today. If you have found this interesting, I would love for you to reach out. I'm on Instagram at pocketpa.gb. Do send me a message, come and follow us. I try to put lots of interesting things on there which help you with your business journey. And I would love it if you were able to leave a review on here so that other people can hear how you've been finding the podcast. But other than that, have a wonderful week, earn lots of lovely money, again with the least amount of stress, and we will catch up again very soon. Thanks for listening to the Earn More, Stress Less podcast with me, Caro Sison. If you've enjoyed this week's episode, then do hit subscribe so we can catch up again soon. And please kindly leave a review if you've got a moment, and share with anyone else that you think this podcast could help on their self-employed journey. If you're ready to make bigger breakthroughs in your business life and want to get way more organised and understand your finances the really simple way, then start your very own 14-day free trial today using the super powerful software tool Pocket PA that I made for my own son and daughter. Go to pocketpa.com/podcast and let's get you on the way to earning more money and stressing much less. Have a great week, whatever you're doing.